The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We looked on our last program at the general topic of probability, and we have had a number of programs now all pointed in the direction of simply demonstrating that the probability that evolution is a reasonable answer to the origin of the things that we see in the world around us is not. And we will continue that today. I want us to look at some comments by George Wald. For those of you that are not knowledgeable in the area of biology, Dr. Wald is an author. He has written a textbook which is used in many colleges. And I would like for us to look at a comment that comes from one of those textbooks. Textbooks entitled Biological Science and Inquiry into Life, published by Harcourt, Brace, and World, and it was published in 1963. And the comment that I'm quoting comes from page 42. Quote, "If life comes only from life, does this mean that there was always life on the earth?" That's an interesting question. This is one of the reasons that this whole discussion becomes so important to the evolutionist. If life comes only from life, does this mean that there was always life on the earth? It must. Yet we know that this cannot be so. We know that the world was once without life, that life appeared later. How? We think it was by spontaneous generation. Spontaneous generation. Now here is an intelligent man, well-educated, an author, scientific articles, research, all the rest of it, who reasons correctly that there was a time when there was not life on the earth. Now, as irrational, nonsensical as spontaneous generation may be, and we'll come back to a discussion of this later, he concludes that it has to be spontaneous generation for the simple reason he is unwilling to accept the idea of God's creating what's here. Now, I want to read you a quote from an article entitled Fitness in the Universe, Choices and Necessities, from Origins of Life, published in 1974. I believe this is a paper that was included in the book that was titled Origins of Life. His comments. "In this strange paper, I have ventured to suggest that natural selection of a sort has extended even beyond the elements to determine the properties of protons and electrons." Now let me stop here for a moment. That statement is so nonsensical, it beggars my mind how a person of Professor Wall's education, ability, etc., can come to make such a statement. I really don't understand. Now, you please understand what he's saying. He is saying that this speculative mental construct, namely natural selection, actually has the ability to extend beyond, not only beyond living things, beyond cells, but it actually has the ability to brood over the competition, life or death competition. This is a little bit of an oxymoron, since life can't extend down below the level of cells as nearly as any of the biological information that's ever been discovered tells us. But here is this process that extends itself down to the level not only beyond cells, but beyond molecules and beyond atoms, down to the level of subatomic particles, and actually is choosing the activities, the existences, giving direction to what protons and electrons actually are. Now, how these kinds of comments can come from such a man, I do not have the ability to comprehend. In this strange paper, I ventured to suggest that natural selection of a sort has extended even beyond the elements to determine the properties of protons and electrons. Curious as that seems, goes beyond curious, folks. Curious as that seems, it is a possibility worth weighing against the only alternative I can imagine, Eddington's suggestion that God is a mathematical physicist. Because he is absolutely unwilling to accept the idea of God as creator, he puts himself in this position of suggesting that natural selection actually has a part in the formation and the properties of subatomic particles. Now, whether you happen to agree or disagree about this is beside the point. The point is, this absolutely has nothing to do with science. He is stating here a religious view, an occult, mystical religious view, and it was printed in an article that presumably dealt with science. And I'm telling you, it has absolutely nothing to do with science. Is Professor Wald entitled to such a position? He's entitled to any position he wants to take. But I want you to understand that this is something that has nothing to do with science and cannot possibly be construed as any kind of evidence in support of a scientific theory or even of evolution as a theory. Now let me read that sentence and then we'll go on to the rest of the comment. Curious as that seems, that natural selection determines the properties of protons and electrons, curious as that seems, it is a possibility worth weighing against the only alternative I can imagine, Eddington's suggestion that God is a mathematical physicist. It is the old biological problem of supernatural creation as against spontaneous, that is, natural generation. And I object adamantly to that term, natural generation. We have no example of this occurring, never been observed. Natural in the sense of generation down at a level below cellular level. It is the old biological problem of supernatural creation as against spontaneous, that is, natural generation, carried back somewhat, carried back a lot of somewhat, back of the spontaneous generation of life under other conditions than now obtained upon this planet, there occurred, notice this is a not qualified, not that it might have or could have, there occurred a spontaneous generation of elements of the kind that still goes on in the stars. And back of that, I suppose, a spontaneous generation of elementary products. My first response to this again, it is not science. We do not know what goes on in the stars. The idea of whether it is spontaneously generating elements or not is a problem that science does not have the capability of providing an answer for. And yet, Wall is very definite in his comment about it. Back of that, I suppose, a spontaneous generation of elementary particles under circumstances still to be fathomed that ended in giving them the properties that alone make possible the universe we know. It is very difficult for me to convey to you the depth of my revulsion at this kind of a statement under the guise of being science, even in support of an evolutionary theory. It is impossible for me to convey to you how unrealistic, how nonsensical how irrational this statement is. And yet it is typical of statements that we find consistently in books where people are defending the idea of evolution. Now, reject God as creator if you want, and scoff at those of us who are creationists, but be sure you don't forget that at root, the evolutionist has to go to this kind of mysticism and the occult. And there are some conclusions that ought to occur to you as a consequence of that realization. Now, there is one other comment that I would like to you to note from Wald. In an article entitled The Origin of Life, it was published in the Physics and Chemistry of Life by Simon and Schuster in 1955. One has only to contemplate the magnitude of this task to concede that the spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. Now, let me repeat that so that you do not misunderstand and I do not fail to convey accurately what he said. One has only to contemplate the magnitude of this task to concede that the spontaneous generation of organisms, the spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. This has been the consistent conclusion of science for at least the last 200 years, further in some cases. There are no exceptions to that. There have never been any instances where spontaneous generation of organisms has occurred. Biogenesis is one of biology's laws. Life comes only from living things. That rules out the possibility of spontaneous generation. And yet, because of his bias and prejudice against the scripture, against God, he has to come to a conclusion that is, in my opinion, much more nonsensical than faith in the God of creation. One has only to contemplate the magnitude of this task to concede that the spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. Yet, here we are, as a result, I believe, of spontaneous generation. Now, he just admitted that spontaneous generation is impossible, but yet he turns around and says we're here because of spontaneous generation, and that he arrives at that conclusion because of his bias and his prejudice.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.